Okay, we're going to turn to the Word of God. If you got my email this week, who read 2 Timothy? Anyone? Okay, Anne Jorgensen, I'm going to buy you a prize. All right, so Anne, well done. Okay, all of you going, what email? Okay, it was sent round, I promise you, and it was because Anne got it and actually read it. That's really good, isn't it? Doesn't matter when it was. It could have been 10 minutes ago, Anne, but you've done it. All right, so we're going to be looking a lot this morning at the book of 2 Timothy and carrying on from our theme last week. We talked last week about being a church and being people who leave a legacy for the next generation. I'm going to carry on that theme this morning. And I want to talk to us about a subject that is really dear to my heart. I want to talk to us about the fact that we raise people. We don't just let them have a go. If you want a title, that's my title. I nicked it from Without Rival. All you ladies that are going, I've heard that somewhere before, right? I did nick it from Without Rival. Thank you, Lisa Bevere. Okay, but I want to talk about the fact that we need to raise people up, not just let them have a go. And I want to look at how Paul did that with Timothy. So our key verse this morning is 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, and it says this, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Do you know what? Inside each one of us this morning is a potential seed of a gift of God. And God this morning wants you to know what that is. And he wants you to begin to grow that thing within you. And when I was in school a long time ago, I hated PE. Anyone else with me there? Yeah, okay, few of you, right? And it still shows today. And so winter time in PE, I absolutely hated it. And just across from our school in Halifax, there was this massive square mile of grass. And we used to have to go and do cross country. And we used to have to like jog around this thing. And it was awful because it was just this massive open space. So when it rained, which it often did in Yorkshire, okay, when it rained, like the rain would just lash and you had to wear gym skirts. None of this like wussy thing like today where you get to wear jogging bottoms, okay? And so we'd be out there and the rain would be lashing against your legs. Your legs would all be numb and red by the time you got back to school. And I hated it. So like for winter, I used to try and get out of doing PE. There was one obvious way, a few, you know, once a month. But I used to try and get out of... PE as much as possible, okay? I'm really tired. This is going to be fun this morning. And but in summer, I quite liked PE because it was, we used to do athletics, and I was quite good at some of the athletics that didn't involve moving very much. Anyone else good at those kinds? So like javelin, discus, all of that kind of stuff. I was really good at that. And but one of my best things in athletics was I was brilliant at the high jump. And I broke all of the school records for the high jump. And this one particular day, our PE teacher, who I actually did get on well, quite well with, she was away. She'd had an operation on her knee. And we had this other PE teacher that was covering while she was on sick. And she was quite a young teacher and tried to like get down with the kids and all that. And it just did not work. And so one day we were kind of doing athletics and our old PE teacher just came in to watch what was going on. She was a bit of a control freak, I think, and didn't like someone else taking her classes. So she came in and kind of watched what was happening, and this kind of younger PE teacher was trying to get a bit of competition going. And so she says, right, which one of you lot will come and have a go at beating me at the high jump? Now, what you need to know about me, okay, is that I was actually quite an introvert in school. So I never pushed myself forward for anything, okay? They had to see what I was good at. I wasn't about to say I'm good at something because I was scared that I'd fail at it. So I just kind of sat back and she's going, come on, one of you, come on, who thinks that they're good enough? Who wants to have a go at beating me? But there are some things that to me were a bit of a red rag to a bull. So I kind of put my hand up, I'm like, miss, I'll have a go. And I could see out the corner of my eye, my actual PE teacher going, you go, girl. You absolutely beat this woman, okay? And so kind of got up, and they started quite low, and I easily did it. And it was one of those moments, you don't want to visualize this, but you didn't want to do this in your gym skirt, so we used to have gym knickers. That was just like big knickers, right? And so like, Jesus is going to come into my preach at some point this morning, I promise. And so like we were running because I didn't want the skirt to like knock the bar off. And so I was kind of, and every time it was my go again, they raised the bar and the teacher went and then I went and the teacher went and then I went and they raised the bar quite high. And all of a sudden the teacher went and the bar fell off. I was like, come on. But I knew that the bar was one higher than my personal best. So I was like, okay, I have never prayed so much in a PE class as I did at that moment, because I thought this is going to give me the edge over her. For the rest of her time teaching as PE, everyone is going to know that she got beat by 15-year-olds. So I kind of took my run up and I was like, come on, Lord, help me. And I jumped, and I have never jumped with so much might in my life. And I literally just, if I'd have had my gym skirt on, it would have been all over and it would have been a Christian draw, which would have been rubbish. Okay, but I kind of just skimmed over the top, fell down. And as I fell to the mat, all of a sudden I heard the cheers of everybody else who was in that room and this PE teacher going, cannot believe I got beat by a 15-year-old. You see, the thing is, she was kind of taunting us, going, who's going to come and have a go? What my gym teacher knew, what my PE the actual teacher knew, is who she'd raised and who she'd worked with. And she knew what I was good at and she knew what I was not so good at. So she knew that winter I would try and get out of everything. But she knew once summer came that I was really good at certain things. And so she would push me in those things. You see, she didn't just let me have a go. She raised me up. I was in, we had houses in our school, and I was part of her house. You see, she wanted me to win. And so she raised me up to do that. And so when, you know, I know that she probably should have sided with the teacher and wanted the teacher to win, but everything in her wanted me to win because she had raised me up. She was the one who was just like, this girl is not just going to have a go. She's going to annihilate you. Okay? And you could tell in her eyes that is what she was willing for me. You see, I think for too long, the church has had this mentality of let's just let people have a go. Do you want to go? Do you want to have a go at that? And it kind of sounds like you don't expect much from them. You're not expecting a lot from them. You know, as parents, you know, do we look at our kids and go, let's just let them have a go? We don't expect that they're going to do very well, but let's let them have a go anyway. Okay, and actually, I think as the church, we've got to get rid of that mentality. I'm not into that mentality at all. I don't think you should just let everyone have a go at anything. Okay, I'm actually into the mentality of finding what people are good at and let's raise them in those things. We need to realize we don't just let people do things and let them have a go, but we are raising them to become someone, not to do something. See, I'd rather raise someone to become someone rather than to do something. Now, there will be things that we do because of who we are. But this morning, I want to get through to His Generations Church that actually, and this isn't just a kind of preach for what are the young people going to do, but actually for all of us, who's raising you this morning? Are you just someone who thinks, I'll just have a go at that and then realize that's not for me, and so I go and have a go at something else? Or this morning, are you willing to put your hand to the plow and go, actually, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to get better at those things that God has put inside me this morning. You know, don't just give me a go, church, but raise me up to be who I'm meant to be. And all of us at different times of our lives, we need to raise the bar. We need to raise the bar on who we're going to be, not just on what we're going to do. I can remember when we took on things here in the church 5 years ago. Can you believe that? 5 years ago. In fact, 5 years ago, today was the first time Joe and Brian walked into our church. We're very glad that they came back. And the reason I remember that is because 5 years ago today was the day that we told the church that the previous pastor was moving on. We didn't quite tell them who was taking it over yet, but we told them that Lee was moving on. And you know, over the last 5 years, it's been like God's raised the bar, not on what I'm doing, but who I'm becoming. It's not about all what I do. It's about who I'm going to become to do the things that God's got for me. And so this morning, I want to talk to us about raising people, not just being a church that lets people have a go. The whole of 1 and 2 Timothy are letters about Paul raising up someone to do what God has called them to do and to be who God has called them to be. Paul tells us in his second letter to Timothy, he tells us of his grandmother and his mother, Lois and Eunice, who passed their solid faith onto him so he could be all that he was meant to be. I want to say to us this morning, parents, grandparents in the house, what are you passing on to those who are coming up under you in your home? Same as what are we passing on to those of us, you know, those of us who have been Christians a long time. In fact, we're going to do a bit of a poll, okay? Who's been a Christian for at least 10 years? 10 years or under, that should be like most people's hands should go up. Who's been a Christian between 10 and 15 years? We're all showing our age now, okay? Who's been a Christian between 15 and 20 years? 20 and 25. 25 to 30. 35 to 40. Oh, man alive, I've still got my hand up. Okay, over 40 years. I'll be there next year. Over 40 years. Okay, you guys, it's not about an age thing, but those of us who have been Christians for less time, those of us who are younger in faith, you know, it's about time we passed on something. We don't just let people have a go, but we begin to raise people up in solid faith, knowing who they are in Christ. And what I want to do this morning, just by way of an introduction, is tell you some of the things that Paul encouraged Timothy in, just in this one letter in 2 Timothy. So I've got a bit of a list for you, okay? And if you want me to send this to you at a different date, don't ask me after the service because I'll forget and then I'll have to apologize, okay? But this is what Paul told Timothy to do, and this is what he encouraged him in. First of all, he said, fan into flame the gift of God, Timothy 1 verse 6. He told him, Timothy, do not be ashamed. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. Suffer for the gospel, 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. Keep sound teaching, 2 Timothy 1 verse 13. Guard the good deposit that's been given you, 2 Timothy 1 14. Be strong in God's grace, 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. Pass on the message of God, 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. Endure hardship for the gospel, 2 Timothy 2 verse 3. Diligently and correctly handle God's word, 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Avoid godless chatter. Avoid those things that we shouldn't be talking about. Avoid that gossip. Avoid that kind of language. 2 Timothy 2, 16. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Beware of increasing wickedness. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 9. Continue, Timothy, in the truth. 2 Timothy 3 verse 14. Preach the word. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. Do the work of an evangelist. Notice it didn't say be the evangelist, because if you're not, there's no point trying to be, but we all should do the work of an evangelist. 2 Timothy 4 verse 5. And discharge all the duties of your ministry, or fulfill everything that God has got for you. That's just in four chapters of the Bible. Paul tells Timothy all of these things. You see, Paul isn't just about letting Timothy have a go. He's not just about, let's just let Timothy have a go planting a church. He's about raising him up to be who he needs to be in the circumstance that God has put him in. Paul said this to those who followed him, you should imitate my faith and my life. So if Paul is telling Timothy to do all of these things, Paul is doing all of these things. And church, I want to say, if we're going to raise great people in the faith in this house, we've got to make sure that we are already doing what we say to them to do. We've got to make sure that we're already living the lives that we're meant to be living as we tell other people to live the life that God has got for them. It takes us living the life to raise others who do that. And I want to bring some challenge and a little bit of housekeeping this morning into the life of our church. But I want to tell you what I've learned over 25 plus years in ministry. Some of that being a youth and kids pastor, and some of that raising two kids of my own. I know that most of you have got children a lot older than mine. And some of those will have been in the youth ministry that we raised up here. So I want to go through just a few things. If we're going to raise people this morning, there are a few points I think we need to look at. Are you ready? You ready for this? Number one, we need to realize that everyone needs their own relationship with Jesus. Everyone needs that. It's not enough for our kids to have a relationship with Jesus via us. Okay, they need their own relationship with Jesus. And this morning, you know, I don't know everyone in the place. I don't know where all your kids are at. But you know what? My prayer is that actually those of us who have kids, that our kids become strong in their faith. But they're never going to do that by accessing Jesus through you. They're going to do it by accessing Jesus on their own. And they're going to do it by watching your faith, yes. Watching how you get close to God, yes. But actually, we've got to give them the freedom to find God for themselves. We've got to give them the freedom to access their own relationship with God. Their relationship with God will be different to your relationship with God. And we need to give them the freedom to explore that. I watch my kids relationship with God as what it is at ages of 6 and 7, and it's very different to my relationship with God. They pray very differently to me. Some of the things they pray for is hilarious. They pray very, very differently to me. Our daughter Caitlin every night prays for Ruth to get a house on Park Avenue, if you want to join with her. She prays every night for this. And a few months back, she prayed, and God, I pray that someone on Park Avenue will move to Italy so that Auntie Ruth can have their house. I mean, it was just like random. You know, I would never think to pray that prayer. You know, I would try and sound spiritual, and I would try and, and it was like she was going, God, let them have like a holiday so Auntie Ruth can go and live in their house. And it's just absolutely incredible. I listen to them pray, and they don't pray like I pray, but you know what? They're exploring their relationship with Jesus. So we've just got to let them do that. You know, they pray things like, Oliver prays things like, and Lord, I pray. Oh, didn't say Lord, actually. He just says, I hope, actually, is what he says. And I hope Mummy will be nicer to me tomorrow. Is when you've had one of those moments with your kids, and I hope Mummy will be nicer to me tomorrow. And in other words, I hope Mummy will let me do whatever I want tomorrow. And I'm like, I don't want to crush his faith, but that's not happening. But we've got to give them the kind of way to explore their relationship with God. Everyone needs their own relationship with Jesus. Even when people become Christians as adults, they're gonna be different in their faith than maybe what you are. Do you know what? Give them space to explore Jesus. If we're going to raise people up, we've got to give them space. The second thing is this, that you've got to give them God rather than just good. I think the enemy has a strategy right now, and the strategy is this, that we will embrace good rather than God. The enemy's not going to come to us with like loads of stuff that blatantly go against the Bible, because we will know at that point that's not God. We'll know at that point, okay, that is not God, because the Bible says this. So what he does is he waters down stuff to make it just look good. Good enough to be spiritual, good enough to be, you know, maybe what God might be saying, but actually it's not God at all. And we've got to make sure that we give people God rather than just good. He'll come out with adaptations of what God has said that sound good, but they're not God. Do you know what? Sometimes we're going to have to go against political correctness to raise people rather than just let them have a go at church. I don't want to let people have a go at Christianity. I don't want to let them have a go at church. I want to raise people who know their God, it says in Daniel, and who do great exploits. That's what we want. But we've got to raise those kinds of people. So let's not just give people good. Let's not just give people what sounds okay and acceptable, because actually the gospel isn't acceptable a lot of the times. The gospel isn't. The gospel says this, that everyone has sinned, but that Jesus died for them. But it still says that everyone's done something wrong. And so this morning, let's not just give people good, but let's give them God. The third thing is this, don't put distractions in people's way. Do you know what? Every opportunity, give God a chance to have an encounter with those who are coming up after us. Let's intentionally remove distractions. And I just want to talk to us just as the mum of the house. Okay, when we bring our kids in, let's not give them distractions all the time. Do you know what, when we're worshiping, I had the immense privilege the other day of having Ali and the kids over for tea. And they went and got guitars from upstairs. I know we should have brought the video of this, but they went and got guitars from upstairs, and Sam came down with the guitar. And we just had this like praise and worship session. And do you know what? At 3 years old, he knows all of the words to Every Giant Will Fall. I think Sam sings it the best. Sam's won my heart with that. He'd won my heart way before then. But when he kind of, and he was strumming, and he had the like tap that Paul has. It's almost like he has copied him, and he stands over here and he watches, and he's got his guitar and he's totally going for it. And can I just say, do you know what? Just for the 20 minutes or so that we're in church, that's a real God moment for our kids. Let's not bring distraction for them. Let's try and teach them how to worship. That's why we've got this thing over here. Do you know, if your kids, I'll be honest with you, my kids struggle with worship. They don't at home. At home, they're on their beds jumping up and down with their guitars. You bring them into a setting like this, they really struggle with it. And so for a few weeks, I've just gone and sat with Ollie and then kind of moved away because I've got to lead the service or whatever. But you know what? If your kids struggle with it, why not, parents? Why don't you come and sit over here with them? Because we want to raise people in the house. We want to raise them. Let's not put distractions. You know what? The world is going to have enough distractions for our kids and for our young people to pull them away from the things of God without us bringing them with us to church. They go out after 25 minutes or whatever. If they were in for the whole service, I think that would be slightly different, but for 25 minutes on a Sunday morning, let's not put distractions in their way. Because even though, like, I look sometimes, and I'm a mum, so I look at my own kids and think, are they getting anything from this? And then they'll come home with something. Or they'll learn a song. And I think nothing's going in. And actually, a lot of the time, a lot is going in. Let's not put distraction in their way, because there's enough stuff that this world will do to bring distraction to our young people and to our kids. Without us doing it. 25 minutes on a Sunday morning, let's allow the Holy Spirit to do something in their life. And my prayer, because I know I've had a screaming child. Oliver was like the worst kid ever. We used to come with like 20 chocolate spread sandwiches and just would feed him one after the other. And when we first adopted him, and Caitlin took to church, like, I don't know what, she was just a dream. And then Oliver came, and we were just expecting the same, and we did not get the same. And I can remember preaching some Sundays. We took over the church when we just adopted Oliver, and I can remember preaching some Sundays, and Matt would have to take him out into the car park at St. Michael's School, and he'd take him to the furthest point away from the building, and I could still hear my boy screaming. Okay, so I know what it's like, and we're a church that is very child-friendly, but I don't think we need to put a distraction in their way. Let's give God a chance. Let's give the Holy Spirit a chance. Let's give our kids' team a chance to kind of raise up this generation. Next, I'm not quite sure what number we're on, but let's allow gifting to flourish. I love the verse in 2 Timothy that says, fan into flame the gift of God that was given to you by the laying on of hands. You know what? Every person in this room, every person in this building, whatever their age, whatever season of life we are in, every single person has gifting that is unique to them. Every one of you this morning, I want to say to you, every one of you has gifting that is absolutely unique to you. And this morning, I want to just kind of bring to us that actually, you know, let's allow that gifting to flourish. Let's allow that gifting to grow in each one of us. As the body of Christ, part of our responsibility is to encourage and raise up the gift of God that is in each person. Next, we need to take them to where, you know, the Spirit, Holy Spirit will affect them. Do you know the house of God is where the Holy Spirit is given a chance? The house of God is where the Holy Spirit can come and affect us. I know that I probably have 2 years left at going to the She Is conference by myself because my daughter is dying to go to it. And you know what? I want to take her to get affected by the Holy Spirit. I want to take her into that place where the Holy Spirit can do something in her. Do you know what? It's going to mean that my life, that my experience of those 2 days is going to completely change when I take her with me. But I want her to be affected and encounter the Holy Spirit. And we need to make sure that if we're going to raise people, that we take them to where the Holy Spirit can affect their life. And then lastly, we need to learn to see people, not projects. As we raise people, it's not about what they can do for us. I love what people in this house do, and I love to watch people grow in their gifting and in what they do, but it's not about what people can do for us. It's about the fact that we love them, and we're going to create a culture that brings that to fruition. I want to say this morning that actually we need to learn to see people, not a project. Who we are is more important every single time, as it's out of that that we will function. It's out of who we are that we will give the things that God has given inside of us to give. So I want to look very quickly this morning at what happens when we do this. What happens when we begin to put some of these things in place? And this is where I start to get really excited. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. So we've just read, fan into flame the gift of God. And then it says this in 2 Timothy 1:7, that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And you know what? When we begin to fan into flame, when we begin to encourage, when we begin to bring people on and raise them, all of a sudden people will begin to realize, you know what? God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. So what will happen when we do this? Number one, when we raise up people, people will begin to believe in themselves. In a world where people don't believe in themselves, where people put themselves down, where people don't see the beauty and the awesomeness that is in them, in a world where suicide kills more people than a lot of other diseases do, in a world where people can't see a way through, in a world where people don't see what's on the inside of them, God sees it, and it's up to us to see that and to raise up people who actually believe in themselves. The most heartbreaking moments for me, either as a natural mum or as a spiritual mum, is when those that I lead, those that I influence, my kids turn around and say, I can't do that. I could never be that. Some of the most heartbreaking moments for me as a mum to my kids have been when they turn around and go, but I could never do that. Who's told them that they can't do that? Sorry, I get a little bit. I was doing homework with one of my kids the other week, and they just went, I can't do this. The teacher said that I'd never move up a book colour, so I can't do it. Now, I don't know if the teacher actually did say that. My kids go to a phenomenal school. But they obviously felt that. I'm like, you don't let anyone tell you what you can and can't do, love. Because you know what? This is what God says. I don't give you a spirit of fear or of timidity. But I give you a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. I give you a spirit that can jump over the obstacles. I give you a spirit that can say, actually, I do believe I can do that. I do believe I can get that. I do believe I can win that. And this morning, I want to say we need to raise up people who actually believe in themselves and in the God who is in them, that actually they can go and they can do and they can become and they can achieve and they can succeed. Come on, Generations Church, this morning, we're not here to raise people who don't think they can do anything. We're here this morning because God has put something inside of us that he wants us to deposit into someone else so they can believe that they can do, they can achieve, they can succeed, they can become. There's just something that rises in me when I sit with people and they go, but I could never do that. Who has told you you could never do that? Who has told you you can never be that? You can never become that? You will never see that? There are things in my heart that I've longed for a very, very long time, but I am refusing the enemy to say, you'll never see that. I'm refusing when the enemy comes and says, you'll never be that. I've had those words spoken over my life in the past, and on a daily basis, I go, actually, God, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Do you know what? This morning, God, I thank you that I am yours, that I have been bought with a price, that I am full of the Holy Spirit, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is active in me. This morning, God, do you know what? I can do anything that you have asked me to do. When we raise up people, people will begin to believe in themselves. Thursday morning, we had our staff meeting, and we were just, you know, I was doing devotions with our staff, and then we were praying. I said, right, we're just going to change what we're doing. And we laid hands on every one of our staff members and just began to pray over them, begin to lay our hands on them, because that's what 2 Timothy 1:6 says, fanning to flame the gift of God that was given you when people laid their hands on you. So we just began to speak over one another's life, and I began to prophesy over each other, and it was absolutely incredible. And you know what? This is what I have learned, that we have to be those who consistently raise others up and allow others to raise us up. Do you know, you never get to a point where you are too big for someone else to come and raise you up a little further. And as the guys prayed over me on Thursday morning, I just felt incredible afterwards. It was as if they raised the bar over my world. It was like the high jump again. And it was as if they raised the bar again. And they were going, come on, Joe, just raise up a little bit further. As you lead, just raise up a little bit further. And I could stand there and say, but I'm the leader. And, you know, I don't need them to do that. Actually, I really do need them to do that. Because we should always be those who are raising others up and who are allowing other people to raise us. You know, as I'm going to watch some of these guys next week and the team next week do mission and connect with kids, and it's going to be incredible. It's going to cause me to raise my game again as I watch them do it. As I watch some of these guys lead worship sometimes, it causes me to raise my game again, okay, because I watch them and they set the bar high. Our worship leaders, as I watch, you know, different teams in our church, we're beginning to set the bar high. But actually, there comes a point where God goes, just raise it a little bit more again. Because we're raising people up, and we never get to the point where we don't need anyone else to raise us. So when we raise up people, we'll raise up those who begin to believe in themselves. Number two, when we raise others, we will create a culture that loves unconditionally. Do you know what? You can't raise others and be a person then who despises others. Love comes when you see something in someone and begin to raise them to become that person. I always love it when I go away and then I come back. Let me just say that. And I begin to hear the reports of what happened in church while I was away. If ever I'm not here, people text me and let me know how church has gone. Be honest, right? You can be honest with me. But the last time I went away and came back, there were like loads of people who came and said, this is what happened on Sunday. And just one thing came through, or two things came through. Number one was the Holy Spirit really moved, which is always a good thing to hear. And number two was Lucy. I don't think she's in this morning, but she led one of the songs in worship and she brought something. And every person who spoke to me about that, that moment, okay, about that service, talked to me about Lucy. I loved that. I love that. 18-year-old girl, great friends with Corey. Corey, through school, brought Lucy into church. When that happened, our youth pastors began to see something in her. We have great conversations on a Friday night when they come home, and I've been babysitting for Jesse, and we talk about you. It's all good, right? But they'll come home and they'll say, I heard the other week when you led Ocean. So I'd already heard before our kind of chat the other day on Facebook. I'd already heard how brilliant you were, okay, how phenomenal you were at leading worship that night. And they'd come back and go, oh, Lucy did this night. She was absolutely incredible. You see, they saw something in her. And when you see something in someone and you begin to raise them up, you know, and Lucy gets up here and it looks like I've raised her up through worship. I haven't really. Paul has. In youth. And I just want to really encourage us that when we raise others up, we will create a culture that loves and that always talks well and that encourages one another. I love seeing what God is creating in this house. I love seeing the people that God is raising up. When you see someone beginning to really rise, the proudness that you feel is incredible when you've had a hand in their life. So when these guys see some of our youth rising up and doing incredible stuff, you know, the hand that they've had in that, I know the proudness in the right sense of the word that they feel. For some of you who've got kids coming through our youth ministry and kids coming through our kids ministry, when you begin to see what God is doing in them, the proudness that you must feel. You know, my daughter's on the tech team. of all of the teams. I did not expect her to choose the tech team. But she comes and she coils wires at the end of a service. And I was watching her the other week after Crowned. And no one asked her to do it. She wasn't meant to be on the team that night, I don't think. She's not really rotated on at all or anything. Like, she's only seven. But she was coiling wires up and lugging boxes. And just the proudness that I felt. As she does that to serve God. And she does that because we're creating a culture that loves. If you say to her, you know, who are some of your favorite adults? One of the first people that comes up is Wes. Because he just lets her be on the tech team. She absolutely adores him. Because we're creating a culture that loves. And I know if I ask some of the guys sat over this side of the hall, they would say the same person, because he's raising up people to serve the house of God. So when we raise others up, we'll create a culture that loves. And then lastly, when we raise others, we will give them authority, not just tasks. Do you know what? It's not about making someone do jobs that you hate, raising up people. I think we get that a bit skew with sometimes. You know, it's not a task-driven thing, but it's driven by wanting to pass on authority that God has given you. When you let people have a go, you give them a task, but when you raise them up, you give them authority. I want to really just challenge us this morning, as we're people in this house who raise others up, that actually we don't just give people tasks, but we give them authority. Craig Rochelle says this: if you want to create followers, then give them tasks. If you want to grow leaders, give them authority. And I don't want to create a follower system in this house. I want to raise leaders. I want to raise people who are, and we're not all going to be stood up the front leaders. That leadership is not a microphone in your hand stood up at the front. Leadership is, you know, just as we grow people to go into their world and be who they're called to be in their world. You know, that's leadership. But if all we ever do is give task, we'll create followers. But when we begin to give authority, we'll create leaders. Every week, I want to say this in front of us as a whole church. Every week when our kids go out to their kids group, we give our leaders authority. I've not given them a task to babysit the kids, because I don't believe that's right. I don't believe we should babysit kids in church. I give them authority to go, let's see these kids become world changers. Let's see these kids be raised up in the house of God. Not just see them have a go at this Christianity, but see them raised up to be strong people, to be strong Christians, to be people of faith, to be people full of the Holy Spirit. You see, I don't give them a task to babysit. I give them authority to grow those young lives that they have every single Sunday morning. So what are we going to do with this morning? What are we going to do with this thing? Are you okay with just being in a place that just lets everyone have a go? Or are you going to be someone who commits to actually raising people up? Because actually, when we commit to raising people up, do you know what? They're going to get it wrong. People come in and go, oh, you know, the worship was great. Your team were great. I think it's safe to say that 15 years ago, we weren't this good. I think it's quite safe to say that, isn't it? But what it's taken is a journey of raising people up who have sometimes done it and not got it right. Who have sometimes, I sung the wrong words this morning, so hey, I've been doing it for 20 odd years, longer than that. You know, sometimes play the wrong chords or do the wrong time, or we've had all kinds of catastrophes. But when you raise people up, you just move past that. When you raise people up, sometimes they're going to get it wrong. Sometimes they're not going to live the way that you think they should live. But if we're committed to raising people up, we go through those seasons with them. We go through the seasons where, you know, they're stroppy. And the thing is, everyone just thinks of young people then. I've worked with adults too. So this morning, are you committed to raising, not just letting people have a go, but committed to raising people up in this house to be effective in the areas that they need to be effective in. If you are, our kids are going to come back in a moment, but if you are, let's just stand together. We're going to pray. We're committed to raising. We're committed to raising people. It's not about just letting them have a go. It's about raising them to be all that God has called them to be. Not just do stuff, but to become something that God has called them to become. Whatever it takes. And sometimes we'll go through those rocky seasons with people, but whatever it takes, we're going to raise people. Oh, let's just raise our hands in God's presence this morning. God, we thank you that I am part of an incredible church. And God, this house is incredible because of the people that come to it. And Lord, I pray as we stand before you now, God, you see our hearts, you see everything about us. God, as we come before you now, Lord, I pray that you will help us to raise people. That God, it won't just be about letting people have a go at something, but it'll be about raising people strong in what you have got for them. Lord, I pray that we will see past what someone might do to who they may become. Lord, I pray that will be more important to us than the task at hand. Lord, I pray that we'll see who they're meant to become rather than what they're going to do for us. Lord, help us to create a culture that loves in seasons where life's difficult, in seasons, Father God, where we may not always get it right, in seasons where we do get more wrong than we get right. Father, I pray that we'll create a culture that loves people through that because we see past that season into who they could become. So God, I pray that you will help us. God, we lay our future before you again, and I pray that you will help us be a house that raises people, that nurtures people, that disciples people, that Father God does all that we can to make sure people get a grasp of you and a grasp of who you are, Father. Lord God, I ask this morning that you give us the grace and the strength to be that house and to be those people. That God, all of us will raise others of all ages, and that we ourselves will be raised by people who come alongside us to journey. God, we love Psalm 145 that says, one generation will tell of your works to another. Father God, let us be a church where one generation interacts with another generation, where we all raise one another, and where, Father God, this morning, we create a culture that is not just about letting someone have a go and not expecting anything of them, but a culture, God, that is about raising people and setting the bar high, Father God, so that people can reach where you want them to reach. Pray you'll be with us today, Lord. I pray, God, everything we do, God, will be inspired by you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.